I'm recording.
Me too.
Fabulous. And then I'll hit record on here. I won't get distracted by the voice that tells me it's recording, but I will, and it'll throw me off for about 5 minutes, because it always does. Welcome, one and all, to the first official episode of Wrestling is Ridiculous. My name is Steve. Thank you for joining me. And to people who've already followed on Spotify, thank you. To people who've checked out the introductory episode and for all your comments and feedback, thank you so much. This little introduction here is pretty much going to be full of thank yous. So my first guest, as excited as I am for the few people that I've got lined up already, it couldn't have been anyone else but the wonderful Mark Adams. Mark is someone who, I mean, we get into it in the episode, but he's been there from the very start, pretty much, you know, outside of Styx and a couple of people who were there during, like, my initial training. Mark was there for my debut and has been there pretty much the entire time. He's someone who I know I can always talk to, but at the same time, sadly, don't talk to enough. But that's life sometimes, I suppose. And Mark also pretty much encouraged me to get into podcasting back in lockdown 2020. I had this crazy idea, and I knew Mark was heavy into podcasting at the time. And he basically said, if you've got an idea, go for it and see what happens. So that's how Play Your Pods Right, which was a review podcast on British game shows and a few American ones, got started. And Mark guested on a few episodes and was always really, really lovely and giving of his time for me with that stuff and, like, any advice and things like that. So, yeah. So, as I say, Mark had to be my first guest. And like I say as well, I've got loads of really exciting guests that I can't reveal just yet because I want to make sure they all go through and everything like that. But please enjoy this chat with Mark Adams. Please leave your comments, your feedback, and everything like that. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Threads, at Steve Dean Refs, and email tjdeanwrestles@outlook.com. So I'll see you on the other side to close out the episode. Take care. So what is the weirdest thing you've seen this week in wrestling?
This week in wrestling?
This week, just this week.
I've not watched any wrestling. I work in wrestling. I don't watch wrestling. I suppose because I live with Priscilla Quinn in the ring, the weirdest thing in wrestling I've seen is Priscilla out of drag. I don't know.
I can't imagine that. Like, that's all I've ever seen of them is just drag. And I love it. I absolutely love it every time I see it. So, yeah, like, I mean, guess we're rolling, like. So, welcome, Mark. Hello.
Hi.
You had to be my first guest. Thanks. Because, I mean, I've known you 10 and a bit years.
Yeah, it's going to be that, isn't it? We've both been around a long time.
And you have been my crutch and my enabler as far as podcasting goes.
Also true.
But I wouldn't have you any other way.
Well, I'm not quite as podcasty as I once was. I've only got two at the moment that I'm doing.
But hey man, I'm never going to throw a flag on it. I love it. So, I mean, where to start? I think the first time I met you was weirdly ridiculous in itself because it was my debut.
Supersonic and Steve Harris.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the guy. I was green as goose shit. I had no business being on that fucking show. Some would argue I'm still green as grass, but there you go. and we had no ring bell.
No. Didn't we try it with a pint glass and that didn't work?
Yeah.
We tried it. Didn't we hit wood at some point?
There was a J2O bottle involved, I think, at one point.
So here's the thing. That was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I had a show recently where there was no ring bell, so we used a bucket for ice that you put a bottle of wine in. So it's always been ridiculous. It is consistently ridiculous. Wrestling is ridiculous. I also like the way you spell ridiculous.
Thanks.
With a wrestling.
That was the design.
No.
Was that TNT, was it?
No, I'm not telling you. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, because I've seen pictures of Mike and Gabby dangling a bucket over the
So
balcony.
here was the thing. We didn't have a ring bell. So I ran down the stairs and I got in the ring, completely confused Mike Angus, and was like, can I have the mic? And he was like, okay. And said, so right, we haven't got a ring bell. So you've got to vote between a pipe, and then she hit the pipe, or a bucket, and then she hit the bucket for what you want as your alternative ring bell. So I did a round of applause for the pipe and a round of applause for the bucket. And the bucket won. The bucket got the biggest cheer. So at least I made it funny.
Yeah, no, you gotta roll with the punches, man, in these situations. So what was your like introduction to wrestling?
My introduction to wrestling, the first thing I ever saw was a friend's kid brother watching WrestleMania 9. Yeah, it was great. And then, well, that's not true. I think I was already watching WCW Worldwide on Central on ITV. But I think that was the first time I ever saw any WWF because I never had Sky. But yeah, as a kid, my most experience was just watching once a week, Saturday, kind of at, I think it was 2 o'clock, watching WCW Worldwide. There was Ron Simmons, Scott Flash Norton, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Shane Douglas, and slightly more obscure, Johnny Gunn.
Don't remember Johnny Gunn.
Johnny Gunn was a jobber who tagged with Z-Man.
Oh, I know Z Man.
Yeah, also a jobber. They both wore purple pants. I remember being impressed that they looked the same. Always lost. Always lost. Oh, Mark Mero was playing Johnny B. Bad as well. He was a bad man. Here comes Johnny B. Bad, and you don't want to make him mad. He's as pretty as a picture. He looks just like Little Richard. And he had a shitty cannon or whatever it was called.
Oh God, I loved. Oh man, I love hate Johnny B. Bad.
I think I just love it. It's just Little Richard wrestles and goes, "Ooh, it's great. It's great." His finisher hurt him more than his opponent. It was a fucking jump off the top ropes into a double leg cover. What did it? I think it was called the Tutti Frutti. And he jumped off the top ropes, did a sunset flip into a double leg cover, and won the matches with it. I was like, that must have fucking hurt you. But good. Good for Johnny B. Bad with his ridiculous finisher.
And it's and I never understood this like when he got signed by WWE and because Vince apparently loved the Johnny B. Bad character, but he couldn't be Johnny B. Bad because of copyrights and shit. I don't understand why he didn't just do it but not be called Johnny B. Bad. I'm guessing because they would have sued for similarities, I guess.
Wasn't it at the time where they were particularly lawsuity with one another because they were massively rivals rather than actually caring?
Yeah, probably because that's how we got Kane as Diesel.
Yes, fake Diesel and
Oh.
fake that isn't on my list for today, but that is particularly ridiculous.
I God, that's a whole episode in itself, isn't it, really, going into all
Yeah.
that shit. Right, let's get to the real meat. What is your absolute favorite ridiculous thing in pro wrestling?
Okay, so I am a D&D player. I've played D&D basically since my teenage years, and I love D&D. And what I love about wrestling is that there's weird multi-class combinations. You know, in D&D, where you might play a warrior rogue or a sorcerer druid, where you pick two classes and you multi-class and you level them at the same time. That's called multi-classing. But wrestler prisoner, wrestler, martial artist, wrestler, soldier, they all kind of make sense because they're kind of combat-y. But then wrestler, dentist, wrestler, doctor, wrestler, barber, wrestler, bin man, wrestler, tax man, this is not the multi-class that makes sense. It's like having, I don't know, having a bard and a barbarian. Barbarians are illiterate, yet they manage to be able to learn how to play a musical instrument. That's ridiculous. So I love that they have these multi-classes that are stupid. There's no job you can't put in the ring. I bet there's a wrestler baker at some point. There was a wrestler porn star, wasn't there? Val Venus. I struggle to think. I mean, I can't think of a wrestler baker off the top of my head, But I like the idea of someone attacking people with baguettes as a foreign object. Baguettes as in bread, not penis. But you know what I mean? Wrestler multiclassing, I think it's so ridiculous. And I love it so much.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, the mid-90s was the peak time of the multi-job.
Oh, it's great.
Because I mean, you had TL Hopper, the plumber.
Yes. And what was the bin man called?
Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
That was it. And then, of course, it hasn't gone away, though, right? We all laugh at Isaac Yankem, but there's a wrestling dentist in AEW.
Yeah, true enough.
We don't laugh at her, but that's because she's actually a dentist in real life as well.
Yeah.
But I guess you kind of see that in for realsies in a locker room when you work in wrestling. Like, you look through the roster and you go, right, so he works in a pub, he's a police officer, he's a fireman, he works in a car park. I'm just going through people I actually know. Those are all real. And I'm a celebrant. That's a weird multi-class, but you actually get it for real in the locker room, yet it seems ridiculous in the ring.
Yeah, like, is there? I'm trying to think if there's actually been a fireman gimmick. There must have been, right?
There must have been. Because firemen are heroes. That's like a classic babyface gimmick for the early 90s, isn't it? Fireman.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we had the big boss man who was a police officer.
But he could flip-flop because he could be a nasty prison guard and so
He
on and so
could.
forth.
He could. And he had a rival with the wrestler multiclassing as a prisoner.
Which,
Nails.
oh God,
Wrestling
I
clown? There's a wrestling clown. Of course, there's a wrestling clown. Fucking doink. Honestly, wrestling multiclasses, it's a rabbit hole. There was a
like
rabbit. There was a fucking
there
rabbit
was a rabbit.
wrestler.
There was, I mean, did you ever watch Lucha Underground?
I always wanted to, but it was hard to watch in the UK legally. In fact, I think it was impossible to watch in the UK legally.
Yeah, they had the Rabbit Tribe. So it was all like classes. It was like everyone was split into tribes. So there was like the Snake Tribe and the Dragon Tribe and all this kind of thing. But then there was in towards the back end of I think the third season, there was the Rabbit Tribe that had like Paul London, and I want to say it was Masquerita Sagrada. But he kind of had like bunny ears on him, and then they were all talking about like the coming of the White Rabbit, who was going to be like the big boss of the group, and it wound up being Karrion Kross, who's currently in WWE.
Oh, good. I mean, we've had like a little person dressed as a bull
Yeah.
for what was it? Was it El Torito, something like that? For
Yes.
the Matadors.
And of course,
There you go, Matador. A Matador. At least there's violence involved in Matador. It's not particularly nice violence. Not that any violence is nice, but drugging animals so that you can pretend you're a big man and stabbing them to death isn't my kind of thing. But again,
yeah.
it's another multi-class, isn't it? Fucking Matador.
We've had multiple matadors because you had those guys, El Torito, and of course you had Tito Santana.
True. But model. There
Yeah.
you go. There's another one, a model.
Loads of models. God. There's too many. Like you said, this is a rabbit hole that goes on for days.
But it's accepted as an absolute norm. A wrestling baker comes to the ring and we're like, oh, it's a wrestling baker. But it's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh God, there's
That's a new gimmick for you, Steve. You said you were going to come back to wrestling as a wrestler. Get yourself like one of them chef's hats and like a blue and white apron and a baguette. And mate, it's money.
We
Because
had
if a
that.
wrestling undertaker can be the most over thing in all of wrestling, then wrestling baker, mate, it's the way to your millions.
We had the pizza guy kind of have his 5 minutes of fame earlier this year, didn't we?
Shit, yeah, wrestling pizza guy.
Yeah, he kind of turned up. Basically, it was one of the standard got famous through TikTok. AEW picked him up for a couple of shots on Dark or something like that,
Right.
just because he kind of went viral and then vanished off the face of the planet again. I always remember there's a guy, the name escapes me now, but whenever he's talking about like going for the bold character choice, he always brings up the baby accountant.
Baby accountant.
Yeah, so
I
it's
mean, there
like,
was IRS who was an accountant.
yeah, a tax man and accountant's the same thing?
Both cunts. No, that's not true. I
Fair.
actually like my accountant. I don't like the tax man. My accountant's actually very good and manages to save me from a lot of stress. But accountants also work for the tax office, don't they?
I guess so, yeah.
He is an accountant who works for the tax man.
Yeah, that's fair. There's been lawyers, definitely been lawyers, because you've got Vader Scott, and then there was The Nation of Domination had a lawyer as well.
They did.
Clarence Mason.
Clarence. I don't think he was a wrestler, though. I think he was a random bloke off the street.
Yeah.
Pretty much any job, apparently, qualifies you to be a wrestler.
For me, the thing with the multi, you know, the multi-class, as you put it, which I actually kind of like that term, is why wrestle?
Yeah.
That's my kind of weird question that's got to go along with it.
Yeah. I mean, how did a prisoner get out of prison, for a start? And why is the baker that doesn't exist? Why is the baker not baking? Because the bread ain't gonna bake itself when you're wrestling.
Exactly. So what is your wrestling comfort food, if such a thing exists?
Oh, it definitely exists. And it's particularly ridiculous. If someone I want to impress asks me what my favourite wrestling match is, I just go straight for the Shawn Michaels Razor Ramon ladder match. But it's not true. It's not true. The wrestling match I have watched more than anything, like 100 times more than anything. If I'm having a bad day, I'll stick it on. If I need to be cheered up, I'll stick it on. If I've been dumped, I'll stick it on. And other people call it guilty pleasures, but I'm not guilty for my pleasures. So it's just a pleasure to watch the hardcore evening game match between Pat Patterson and Gerald Briscoe. Nothing cheered me up better than the hardcore evening game match. It's just wonderful. Makes me so happy.
I know this isn't a visual medium, but I am fist pumping the air right now. I was begging for this to come up, and it's come up in episode one.
It's the best thing. It's the best thing. I think it's genuinely my favourite thing that's ever existed in wrestling. And I'm not embarrassed. I don't care.
This weirdly came up in conversation at training a couple of weeks ago, because I was talking about like how good the year 2000 was, and like there's just this string of shows in a row that are just so good. You've got Backlash, then Judgment Day, then King of the Ring's a bit, and then you get Fully Loaded, and all together those shows are incredible. And I was like, but the one match you need to go and watch from that string of shows, it's not the Iron Man match between The Rock and Triple H. It's not Big Show versus Shane McMahon. It's not Kurt Angle versus The Undertaker. It is the hardcore evening gown match between Pat Patterson and Gerald Briscoe. And everyone laughed.
Best match ever, not even being remotely ironic. I think that comedy wrestling is just as important as two blokes hitting each other really hard, legit. And I love this match. I can't think of a match that, if you've got like 15 minutes, it's all you need. 15 minutes, cheer yourself up with the hardcore evening gown match. The best.
I agree.
The best.
And just for the benefit of people at home, who won that match, Mark?
Crash Holly.
Exactly. Someone who wasn't even in the fucking match.
Brilliant.
Because this was the height of the 24/7 rule. And the whole reason this happened,
it makes it even better.
Yeah, the whole reason this happened was because Vince caught Pat and Jerry in drag because they were trying to hide from Crash Holly.
It was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Just wonderful. Just Pat Patterson's glee and Gerald Briscoe's legitimate horror. It was fucking great. Absolutely fucking great. There's so little queer content in wrestling that, up until recently at least, wasn't vociferously offensive. Mm-hmm. Whereas this was just two drag queens. And drag queens are drag queens, you know? You can be straight, you can be gay. It was great. Just two blokes who dressed as women and hit each other with shit and then got battered by some little bloke. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
And I also want to say that Pat looked like he was having the time of his fucking life.
Oh, yeah. He was having the best time. And it just makes me just so happy. Honestly, I don't think I've watched anything more than across all of popular culture, not just wrestling. I don't think I've watched anything more than I've watched the Hardcore Evening Game match.
Oh, I love it.
I might
so
watch
much.
It when we finish doing this, Steve.
I think I'm going to be honest.
I, There's no might. I'm gonna watch it.
Hey, you'll come home. What are you doing? Research. Oh, God.
Priscilla will come home and go, "Oh, you're watching that again."
I mean, we could waffle on and on for hours about all this wonderful, like, I don't even want to call it tat. But when it comes down to it, because obviously you have been involved in wrestling for quite a number of years,
I have.
and that's not a negative at all.
No.
What is, and I want a certain story to be told, but I'm sure you've done even more than what I want. The story I want told. What's the weirdest thing you've ever been involved in, or any kind of just ridiculous story that you've been around?
I would like to hear, if it's not the same one, I would like to hear what you thought I was going to say. But I had a run as a pantomime villain, evil manager in a place called Full House Wrestling. And I've just worked out what the other one is that I think you want me to tell. So I might even tell two. But the one in Full House Wrestling, it was so camp, so silly. The promoter basically wanted to be British Chikara, and we didn't achieve that, but we had a lot of fun, and the fans were genuinely into it. At one point, we played Human Hungry Hippos,
We're hungry, hungry hippos. We're eating great.
It's hungry, hungry hippos.
Which I cheated at. We also, the highlight, I think, was when I was one of his trainees was a genuinely capable carpenter and handyman. From scratch, he built a giant-sized whack-a-mole. And I was put into the whack-a-mole and bashed with a rubber hammer. And every time I came up, I pulled an angrier face. I'd planned it in the mirror. There was like quite angry, angrier, very angry, apoplectic, because I knew I was going to get hit four times. I had a progressively angrier face as I came out of the whack-a-mole. And that culminated in technically the first three wrestling matches I had that weren't rumbles. So basically, the idea was that my guy was Big Mike Wild, and the guy we were feuding with was Barricade. And if Mike lost the match against Barricade, Barricade would have a match against me where if he won, I would lose my contract with Full House Wrestling. Of course, Mike lost the match because I botched a cheaty. So I got in the ring and I ran away and got counted out. And I was like, yeah, but I didn't lose. I wasn't pinned. So the general manager pulled me by the ear, put me back in the ring. So I slapped the ref and then I got disqualified again. And then so the issue, this general manager, she said, well, the next match is a no disqualifications match. And if you lose, you're out of the company. And he just picked me up, body slammed me, dirty great splash, one, two, three. And then they did the raffle with me dead in the middle of the ring. They did the entire raffle with me unconscious in the middle of the ring. I had
Fabulous.
the best fucking time at Full House. And you know what? Because it worked and because I had this run where everything that we said we wanted to do happened, even though he wanted me to go back, I said no, because I said I've had my run there and it was perfect, so I'm not going to go back.
I don't like how much we've glossed over human hungry hippos here.
We're hungry, hungry hippos. We're eating great.
It's hungry, hungry hippos.
Do you want the rules of human hungry hippos? It's shit. So what you do is you get a bag of ball pool balls, you throw them in the middle of a ring, you get a skateboard, and you put a wrestler on a skateboard with a rope around their waist, and they have a washing basket, and they have to you roll them in on the skateboard. They use the washing basket to get the balls and bring them to the other side. And then I cheated by getting my at the time I had a like a gentleman's cane, so I was whacking my cane to, on these balls towards my guy to cheat at human hungry hippos.
Oh my God. Like,
Human hungry hippos, mate. Underrated game.
until this, the only real story I knew about Full House was just like, again, Styx used to have the time of his life there. And the only other story I knew
Oh yeah.
was that Max Angelis knocked him unconscious and then he decided to cut like a 10-minute promo unconscious, like completely concussed.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Oh God, that's amazing.
Same promotion where I threw talc in Styx's face and pretended it was salt. Classic. WrestleMania 9. It was a
Yeah,
WrestleMania 9 spot. I blatantly nicked
man.
it. Yeah, chucked talc at Styx. Great.
Amazing.
The story I was hoping.
It's funny how that that salt smelt really nice. Smelt of lavender. Fucking lavender salt.
That's a real thing. I feel like that's a real thing.
I mean, it is now.
Yeah, if it wasn't before, it certainly is now.
So what was the story? I think I know, but what was the story you wanted me to tell? And was it better than that one?
Oh, no, that story was tremendous. That was everything I wanted and more. Halloween.
Fuck, I know you've been ring announcing about a year and a half when that happened. You're absolutely right. That was ridiculous. Do you want me to tell that one as well?
Yes, please.
Okay. So it was a Halloween show and the promoter comes up to me and he asked me, can you dress up as Jason Voorhees for Halloween? I said, well, I can, but Jason Voorhees doesn't speak and I'm a ring announcer. And he said, well, you know, just come up with what voice you think you should have for Jason Voorhees. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe he talks like this. Great, do that. Wait, what? So I had to do that for the entire show. Oh. The following contest is shit. It was painful.
I can imagine.
But that wasn't the best bit about it. I arrived and the promoter comes to me and said, I've had this idea, which was never a good thing with him, let's be honest. I love him to pieces. He's one of my favourite people I've met in all of wrestling. But people in wrestling have batshit ideas and then there's this guy. I'm not going to out him because it's mean. I genuinely get on with him and this is fucking ridiculous. So what I want you to do is I want you to get in your gear and I want you to, before we open the doors, I want you to lie in the ring. And what we'll do is we'll do a thunderstorm sound to wake you up at the start of the show, like the films. So he knew enough about the fucking films that Jason Voorhees was woken up in, I think it was the fourth one, maybe the fifth one, by lightning striking his grave. But he didn't seem to care that Jason Voorhees doesn't speak. But fine. So it's like, so let me get this straight. You want me to lie in the middle of the ring, completely motionless, dressed like Jason Voorhees for 30 minutes before the show starts? Yeah. All right, I'll do it. So I did. I got in the ring just before they opened the doors. I got myself comfy. I think I was in the recovery position. And 30 minutes is a long time. And initially kids were like staring at me and goes, is he dead? And I fell asleep. And then when the lightning bolt went off, I was asleep. So someone had to nudge me. And then they did the lightning bolt again. I was like, I'm alive! But I kind of ruined it by falling asleep.
I didn't know the bit about you falling asleep.
Yeah. It's quite comfy. I put myself in the recovery position. That's supposed to be comfy, right?
Oh, God. That's just reminded me completely, like, semi-related, but not. My favourite story about the Sandman, of all people, it was 2005, 2006-ish. He did a UK tour, and he was wrestling in Ireland. And he puts a guy in a sleeper hold. And Sandman actually falls asleep on the guy.
What?
Yeah.
He put someone in a sleeper hold. I thought you were going to say he knocked him out with a legitimate sleeper.
Nah. Sandman puts the guy in a sleeper. They go down to the mat. And Sandman legitimately falls asleep.
Wow. I mean, with a name like the Sandman.
Yes.
Yeah. At least, you know.
I don't know if it was just jet lag or he was messed up because, you know, the man has a penchant for drinking. But
true.
But I don't know why. Sorry, that just you falling asleep just made me think of that. And it's just a story that I love because it's like you're the guy doing the sleep hold. You're not the one that should be falling asleep.
Yeah, that Halloween show was magnificent. They had a, can't remember what it was called, but it was a Guy Fawkes themed match. And you had to go, there were barrels around the arena and they had to like get some deeds from out of the barrels. One of it was a title shot. One of it was something else. One of it was a kiss from the old lady in the front row. So okay. one of the wrestlers, I want to say Steve Valentino. One of the wrestlers won it was so long ago, but I think it was Steve, won a kiss from the old lady in the front row. And boy, did she take advantage of getting to kiss the guy. I'm pretty sure it was Steve. I'll message him and say, was it you that got kissed by the old lady? But I haven't spoken to him for years, but I'm going to do that when we're finished. I'm going to watch the Hardcore Evening Game match. I'm going to message Steve Valentino. Was it you that got kissed by an old lady? And she went right for it. It was great. That promotion was superb. Anyone that worked there, it's the stuff of legends.
Was that Full House as well?
No, I'm not telling you what it was because I still like the guy.
Okay, that's fine.
But it was fucking ridiculous and fucking wonderful. Time of my life.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Hey, sorry, just want to take a brief pause in my conversation with Mark to talk to you about JCX. So what is JCX? Well, it's a personal training service run by former WWE, NXT UK star and British wrestling mainstay Joseph Connors, offering online workout plans and one-to-one in-person sessions at Kinetic Studio in Nottingham. Joe wants to help break down your barriers to fitness and judgment-free environment to provide you with an interesting, engaging, and most importantly, fun fitness program that's tailored to you and your lifestyle regardless of fitness level, age, or background. So contact Joe on jcx_ukpt@outlook.com and see what he can do for you.
So we are going to take a trip to Room 101, Mark. You'll be the first to induct something into the fires, into the furnace, to try remove it from all of wrestling for all eternity. What is that thing?
I've gone a little bit serious.
Okay.
I really like it when you mix a little bit of real life into kayfabe and it all gets a little bit, is it real? Isn't it real? I think as a kind of postmodern version of kayfabe, I've always really enjoyed that. I've always liked mixing that up. Like the relationship between Michael Cole and John Cena, they're friends, legitimate friends. And a few people know that. So when John Cena has a real thing going on, he will actually go and shake hands with Michael Cole. I remember them doing that. But and stuff like the Click, they weren't a faction at the time, but they were friends and some people knew that. And, you know, so say I, for example, I've done stuff where a long time ago now, but people know that I'm close to Clint Margera in real life. And there was a spot where they brought me in to, in inverted commas, break character and check on him after he'd been hurt. But he hadn't been hurt. But the whole point was that by bringing me in, it looked like, holy shit, Mark's broken character and stopped doing his job too. So I've always thought stuff like that's really, really interesting, really fun, and keeps the fans on their toes. But there is one real life storyline that I just want to get in the sea, because it could have been great and it could have worked really well, but it just so happens that Vince McMahon's a shit. And that is the storyline where Matt Hardy, he was cheated on by Lita and he got no comeuppance. He got repeatedly jobbed and he got made to look like an absolute fool after he'd been cuckolded. And I'm like, come on, give the guy a fucking break after he just got cheated on and dumped. And I just thought it was distasteful. Fired. Yeah, and then he got fired. It was fucking horrendous. Absolutely fucking horrendous. And the guy that stole his woman got fucking promoted. It was, yeah, I found it really unpleasant.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, yeah, I with that whole run for Edge, it's one of my favorite Edge runs, but I've really got to separate the fact from the fiction with it a lot.
But you weren't supposed to. And the whole point was that storyline was based around the fact that there was a real life love triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was a bit distasteful. There was better ways to deal with it. Either give the underdog, the guy who's been wronged, a vague kind of storyline revenge. And, you know, the guy who, and the girl, you know, she was as much of a cunt as he was. Get them, both of them, some kind of comeuppance. But they just repeatedly shat on Matt Hardy, the guy who'd been wronged.
Yeah. I think part of that was probably the way he dealt with it. Maybe. But I don't know. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, no, I completely agree. It was, as you say, it was distasteful. It was just really poorly handled. And by all parties, to be honest. Like,
true.
I think Lita was the only one who kind of handle it with any kind of grace and decorum. Like, she just kind of went, okay, that's what you want me to do, I'll do it, fine, whatever kind of thing. But she wasn't like vocal on the subject or anything like that.
No.
Like, she, and even to this day, she won't talk about it.
No, and here's the thing, right? It was forced on all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
None of them wanted to be a part of it. And I think to be invested in a storyline, particularly a storyline like that, you need all parties to actually want to do it.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. So, yeah, I will agree with you, and I will cast that into Room 101 because just for everything it did, I saw what they were trying to do, but I don't think the vision matched the reality of it all.
No.
I think they kind of, the result of them blowing it up into something else entirely, I think, really hurt all of them in the long run.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But, yeah, so I'll agree. I will absolutely cast that into Room 101. Is there anything you want to preserve?
Yes, I do.
Excellent.
I waited 18 years for the resolution of a storyline, and I was rewarded. Do you remember that Mark Henry and Mae Young had a relationship?
Yes!
Come on, Mae, tell him.
You really want me to tell him?
Yes!
I'm pregnant!
What?
And Mae Young gave birth to a white hand after she got pregnant by Mark Henry. And then a guy in a hand suit turned up 18 years later on a celebratory Raw episode and said to Mark Henry, Daddy! It was fucking brilliant.
Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Mae Young's son. All grown up. Proud of me, ain't you, Ma?
Oh, I love you, baby.
This must be preserved for all time because it is one of the greatest, most ridiculous pieces of shit I have seen in my entire life. I howled with laughter. Like painful ribs couldn't stop laughing, howled with laughter. One of the greatest things that wrestling's ever done.
Yeah, brilliant. Let's ignore the fact that she's had tournaments named after her. She is revered as one of the, you know, great, one of the pioneers of women's wrestling, along with someone who won't be named because she turned out to be quite a horrible person. But like, let's forget all that. You bring up Mae Young's name to anyone who knows a bit about wrestling, and it's she the one that gave birth to her hand.
It's either that, or is she the one who went through a table in her 80s?
Yeah.
Because this woman was in her 80s when she was doing all this weird and wonderful shit in the 90s. I loved Mae Young. I remember I always played as her on, it wasn't No Mercy. It was the one before No Mercy.
Oh, WrestleMania 2000.
Yes, I always played as her on that. She was my women's champion forever. And I got really pissed off if anyone beat Mae Young. I'd put the belt right back on her. And you know, without a shadow of a doubt, all this time, Mae Young, favourite diva ever. Not classic Mae Young, old Attitude Era Mae Young, the greatest thing. Just loved her.
My two favourite stories about Mae Young. One was the table spot. Apparently she said to Bubba, don't you fucking dare go easy on me.
I can believe that.
And Bubba's like, I'm about to throw you off the stage through a table, like, I'll protect you. And she's like, don't you fucking dare. Like, oh, okay. Like, you know, she's very treat me as one of the boys, even in her like late 70s, early 80s. The other one was, I don't know if it was a match or it was just like one of those weird comeuppance points, but she was involved in the segment with Eric Bischoff. And she did a Bronco Buster on Eric Bischoff. Apparently she filled her singlet with sardines.
Oh no. Magnificent. Fucking yes.
Oh god, I adore Mae. Like, I always hear, like, you always hear these like stuff of legend stories about her, yeah, that are whispered in hushed tones, and you know, you had to be there, and do you remember the when's kind of thing. Like, quite right. I will absolutely preserve the hand and the resolution to the hand. It will be kept forever.
I just felt like I had to get that one in early because I feel like some people, some humorless people will try and put that in, and like, I'm not having it. The hand stays.
Yeah, I agree. Because it, and again, like I say, like, even though you say to someone about Mae Young and the first thing that comes up is the hand, that shows its weird staying power as much as people want to use it as an item of ridicule, which it is. But it's this just joyous fucking thing that is like, come on, like, because and it was purely a get out of jail free card because fucking Russo had written this storyline But then someone, I think it was probably Bruce Pritchard or Michael Hayes, someone was just like, you realize if she's pregnant, she's got to give birth at some point because Russo had already done a miscarriage gimmick earlier in the year.
Yeesh. You're right.
So it was like, well, we can't do another miscarriage. So she's got to give birth to and I think someone said, and someone said to something. So they just had
you
a
You'd have thought they'd have made it an egg and then they could have done the gobbledygooper all over again. Oh, what's in the egg?
Oh my God. Yes. what could have been. It wouldn't shock me if it was Vince McMahon that they said, just make it be a hand, pal. Yeah, just that strikes me as Vince's humor.
I just don't understand why. There was no explanation, like, you know, she hadn't gone through like mutagen or something.
No.
I mean, I'm surprised she hadn't gone through the menopause, let's be honest. But wonderful. Utterly ridiculous.
My other favorite part about the initial like birth segment is the fact she's smoking a fucking cigar.
Oh, no. Oh, things you couldn't get away with on telly these days. A birth where the mother is smoking a cigar. Fucking hell.
Oh, God.
I wonder if Peacock have cut that. There are certain things that you can't see on Peacock.
Oh, wow.
And that's probably one of them.
Oh, I'll have to do some digging on that. Very interesting. That's a thought and a half. But with that, Mark, that's probably the best place I can leave it, is that the birth and the coming of age of a hand in wrestling. So with that, Mark, please plug everything and anything you want to.
Well, I'm a ring announcer, as you know, that's why you got me on. And I work for a number of companies around the country. My name's Mark Adams. You can find me on Facebook, Mark Adams Wrestling Ring Announcer, or Twitter at Mark Adams HC. The HC stands for Humanist Celebrant, because that's my real life job. I'm a celebrant. And if you are interested in a non-religious wedding or naming ceremony, hit me up. That's my job. And I like earning money. But other than that, on the internet, I've got two podcasts. I've got Shipwrecks and Comatose, which is about Red Dwarf. We've done like 120 episodes. Most of them are about Red Dwarf. That's at Red Dwarf Pod on Twitter. And the other one I do is about Child's Play and Chucky, the killer doll. That's at Chucky Vision on Twitter. Both of those podcasts can be found wherever you're listening to Wrestling is Ridiculous. Just search for them.
Fabulous. Mark, honestly, thank you so much. You've done so much for me in the last 10 years, even the last three years, just when it comes to podcasting. But thank you so much for your time, Mark.
I've had a blast. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And I will catch you down the road somewhere, I'm sure. So there you have it, folks. I really, once again, want to thank Mark for his time and jumping on and chatting with me and being absolutely ridiculous with me. Mark is a tremendous human being, and yeah, just go follow him on all the socials, everything like that. And if you do need a celebrant for your naming ceremony, wedding, funeral, then absolutely hit Mark up. He offers a tremendous tailored service. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, thank you so much for stopping by. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Threads at Steve Dean Refs. I'm on Facebook as Steve Dean Wrestling Referee. And until next time, folks, let's keep wrestling ridiculous. Wrestling is Ridiculous is recorded, produced, and edited by me, Steve Dean. The cover art is by Luke Burton. Find him on Instagram at JailhouseDesignsX or Luke Burton Designs. So until next time, folks, take care.